Hello.
Hey, what's going on, everyone? This is Yusuf.
And Genoa.
And this is
In-Flight Entertainment,
the Throwback Thursday episode special request.
Yep. So today, Miss Shannon, I won't say any last names, but I may tag you in this, sent a request for us to review.
Yes.
Lady Hawk! So we are jumping back to April 1985 to take a look at the... the movie
The Hawk That's the Lady. Yeah. Now time warp time. So April 1985, this world was going down. So the song of 1985.
Was it Wham?
No, but Wham was part of this song. Oh. It was a song that everyone was in.
I can see the video. 85. I can't remember the name of the song.
This one, America was trying to just do good for everyone around the country.
Right. It's not Hands Across America, but it's something like that. Yeah. What is it?
We are the world.
Oh, right. We are the world.
We are the children. Everyone was in that
dance. Everyone. Cyndi Lauper.
Cyndi Lauper. Huey Lewis is in there. Yeah.
There's some random actors in there also. If you look at the video.
I know.
It's very...
Ray Charles is in there. Bob Dylan with his can't say.
Yeah, I feel like George Michael did have like a special solo in the song.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was like an extended version that was not the radio version. It was like almost 10 minutes long, and everyone was like doing their thing.
But I think he actually made the radio version. We'll have to go back and look.
We gotta go back there. Yeah.
Maybe we'll post this on the Facebook page.
Yeah, because
We'll post it.
It's
prime 80s music video.
And everyone was wearing the USA for Africa shirts year. Like, we were trying to do good.
We were.
Yeah.
Sort of.
Yeah, we get an A for effort that in 1985. And the show's Usual Suspects.
Murder, She Wrote.
Yeah. Actually, that's number three.
Yeah, it is. Cosby Show.
Number one.
I've run out of shows.
Okay, so Family Ties would be number two. 60 Minutes would be four. Cheers, five. Rounding up the top five.
I feel like Cheers was on TV forever.
Yeah.
At least in my mind, it was.
It was.
In 85, were you like 6 years old or something?
Seven, 1985. Yeah,
you probably didn't see this in the movie theater.
No.
I didn't see it in the theater either.
No, because I was watching, because Back to the Future came out that year. That's 1985.
And Goonies came out that year, too.
Yeah, a lot. It was a good time.
We had some fun movies in 85.
Yeah.
Not
Lady
Hawk.
And then we have...
Lady Hawk.
Yeah.
This is also, I think MTV was launched in 84, so this is a year after MTV, thereabouts. And right around the time that movies started to incorporate the pop music.
Mm-hmm. Gotta grab those kids.
Right. That was popular because of the MTV time.
Yes.
And you definitely see that in this movie. But what is Lady Hawk about? So according to IMDb, which I kind of disagree. I mean, the description on IMDb is correct, but it leaves out some key points.
Mm-hmm.
And it reads, the thief Gaston escapes dungeon of medieval Aquila through the latrine. Soldiers are about to kill him when Navarre saves him. Navarre, traveling with his spirited hawk, plans to kill the Bishop of Aquila with help from Gaston. So
cool.
leaves out maybe the entire point of the movie, and which is why Navarre wants to kill the bishop. And basically there's a curse on Navarre and his lady friend, Isabel. And they're never allowed to be in the same place at the same time.
In human form. Yeah.
So during the day, Navarre is in his human form, and at night, spoiler alert, he's a wolf.
Mm-hmm.
And during the day, he has a hawk, but at night that hawk turns into his beloved Isabel.
Yes.
So that really is. So the reason why he's going off to kill the bishop is because he believes by killing the bishop, he'll break the curse.
Exactly.
But the bishop isn't actually the person that put the curse on him. It was a priest that worked for the bishop. And the priest, we find out from the priest that in order to break the curse, they have to be together at the same time. And day and night will be one.
Right. Like the eclipse.
Like a solar eclipse, because it becomes night and day. And if they can be together, then they break the curse that way, not necessarily by killing the bishop or anything.
I guess the question with that plot point is, did they know, or is it a time in this, particular place of this world that eclipse happens like once a week or like every, because it was like, it's very convenient. It's like, oh, the eclipse is happening.
I
didn't hear anything, and they were saying, "Oh, we need to get to here."
No, there's a scene at the beginning of when they run into the priest. He goes, "In 3 days' time, it's going to be blah blah blah." So no, eclipses don't always happen. It's just that he's ahead of his time, that he can read the stars and everything and figure out that there's going to be an eclipse.
Gotcha.
So based on this is supposed to be take place in the medieval ages.
Yeah.
He might be a little bit advanced, but apparently he could read the stars and figure out all of that fun stuff.
You think it's because of like the wolf instinct in him?
Well, it was the priest that told him it wasn't.
The priest. Yeah. Okay. Gotcha. Yeah, that's true. Right.
Yeah.
So who's in this movie?
So the knight, Navarre, is played by Rutger Hauer. Mm-hmm. He lost 20 pounds to play this part.
Wow.
Michelle Pfeiffer plays Isabel.
Mm-hmm.
And apparently initially they thought she was too pretty to play the part.
She was stunning.
She was she is definitely beautiful in the movie. She
Had a little short haircut.
Right, she has short hair, no makeup, or it seems like no makeup. Minimal.
Yeah.
So it definitely is like all natural. Beautiful Michelle Pfeiffer. Gaston is played by Matthew Broderick, and he sort of plays the con man thief-ish. And like clown throughout the movie.
Yeah,
he says a lot of what you're thinking. So
And he talks to God a lot.
Yeah. Navarre's horse is called Goliath.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a scene where Gaston's riding off on Goliath, and he makes a joke. In my town, we prefer David over Goliath. So he has a couple little jokes in there.
Right. And did you notice that Alfred Molina was in here? He was Caesar.
I totally missed him, but when I was reading the trivia, they're like Caesar or Alfred Molina plays a bad guy in two of his movies.
It's so funny. It's almost like they took him off of the set of Raiders of the Lost Ark, still kind of dirtied up.
Yeah.
But like, some medieval garb on him and just moved him over to this movie. It's like, okay, Alfred, do your thing. Be menacing. But of course, Alfred Molina. Alfred Molina is amazing. So that brought the acting stock up some notches.
Yes.
Even the small part he had. He wasn't in the movie all through the movie, but he was. He was good.
So the movie also has some very unique music.
Mm-hmm.
As I mentioned, it is the beginning of a lot of movies starting to use pop music in their soundtrack.
Yes.
And so the beginning of this movie, they're not sure if they want to use pop, disco, or like medieval hymns, orchestra music. Yeah,
it was so weird because like the beginning of the film, it has kind of like a sweeping kind of, and then it goes to the...
Yeah, all in the same song, which was very distracting.
Yeah, I know. Like, this is interesting. I was kind of dance a little bit, but doing my 80s kind of.
It's also an old school type of movie where they show all of the credits at the beginning of the film before you even jump into the story. So
exactly enough time to hear the 80s
full
80s synthesized song, score. Yeah. Yeah, it was poppy. It was Was it right for this film? No.
If I was the music supervisor, I would not have picked this music.
Not at all.
Even if I was trying to pick some sort of modern pop music that would appeal to a greater audience, I don't think I would have gone with the techno disco version.
You think it's a situation, you were mentioning this, like far as the production of this particular film kind of being all over the place, so to speak. You think it was a situation to piggyback the MTV generation they're trying to hook? You think that's the reason why they cast Matthew Broderick? Like, hey.
Absolutely.
Was this before or after Ferris Bueller? Let me check that.
While you're checking out, some of the other people that they had identified for the Gaston character were... who's the guy that played... One second. Dustin Hoffman and Sean Penn were also considered for Gaston. So Matthew Broderick to me feels like a much like a younger type of casting decision.
Yeah. Okay. Ferris Bueller came out the year after 86.
Wow.
Yeah. Interesting. I don't know. It just felt out of place.
His character?
Well, him his playing casting? This particular. Yeah. The casting.
Oh, he was him and Michelle Pfeiffer were the only casting issues or people I didn't have an issue with.
Really? Michelle, no. Matthew, I did, because, like I said, it seemed like he was trying to straddle some kind of accent, but he just couldn't hold it, so he was just kind of spilling it over to an English accent.
Right, they should have told him not to do any accent. Yeah. Maybe I wasn't listening that well, but I don't remember any accents in the movie, so I feel that he should have just gone with his normal American accent.
Because it was sometimes like, oh, God, let us know. This is so bad. You know, no, don't do it. But it is what it is.
And then Kurt Russell was supposed to play Navarre, who was the Rutger Hauer. And I feel like that would have been, that would have been so much better. Rutger Hauer to me just he didn't feel like a true knight. He just felt sort of like
a quiet warrior.
Like he was coming out of retirement and just sort of doing this for the paycheck and check the box.
Yeah. Well,
he retired after this movie, so
yeah, for a little bit. And then you've seen him pop up in a couple of things. He was in Sin City. A lot of people forget about that. I didn't really have an issue. I mean, of course, he wasn't, like you said, he wasn't really bringing it. He wasn't full Rugger. Like, he wasn't Roy Batty. Okay,
this is supposed to be like a romantic story. You're supposed to really want the Lady Hawk and the Wolf to be together. And he just doesn't seem like someone that Michelle Pfeiffer would fall for.
Maybe it was the quiet, stoic persona.
Right. Okay.
That drew Michelle Pfeiffer. He's so quiet and so stoic.
Right. Michelle Pfeiffer had way more chemistry with Matthew Broderick than she had with
Michael Hauer. They got their dance on, in the barn, Matthew and Michelle. You know, he taught her how to dance. That was, that was a cool moment. But you're right. I guess the problem with this movie
Sorry, Shannon. The problem with this movie
is, it wasn't enough time, right? Like, we supposed to accept the distance or the disconnect between, Rutger Hauer character and Michelle because they can't be together. So it's kind of like hard to like really be like, I wish there were like some flashbacks, like something to kind of give us a reference point on how close they were, how much they loved each other.
Yes, like that, they needed flashbacks.
Something. Yeah. But it's just like, I guess they love each other.
Right.
Yeah. I think it would have worked better for me as far as buying the love for each other. I know they're not stuck with each other, but they choose to go on this journey together. But in human form, I needed a reference point, how much they love each other. I don't know.
Yeah, agreed.
Is it arrangement? I don't know. Who knows?
For me, watching the movie, the only time I felt a true connection between the two characters was early on when the first time we see Michelle Pfeiffer And she's walking like through the forest with the wolf mm-hmm. by the side. I was like, yes, I see chemistry there between those two characters.
I know, was like, maybe the love needs to just stay this way. Right.
I don't. So I did see this when I was a child, not at the movie theater.
I've seen it on cable.
Yeah, I saw it on cable. And I do have to say, I had only seen it once before watching it for this. Mm-hmm. And I thought my memories of it were that it was a romantic movie, and it's like one of the theme, like within the medieval story realm that seems like it should be a good story. Yeah. And as someone that minored in medieval literature in college, I felt like I should thoroughly enjoy this, but they needed something extra in there.
Yeah. It was a lot of things missing here. I mean, you know.
We won't recap the story for you guys.
I mean, you already recapped the story.
It's on Amazon. Yeah. Go watch it on Amazon.
Yeah. In a nutshell, you pretty much just summed up. Yeah, the whole thing.
Right. It's a 3-day journey in order to kill the bishop and be within his presence during the solar eclipse.
What would have made this movie like amazing during the eclipse? A ray of light cut through the eclipse, falls on a plant. Boom, Audrey too.
I don't know why that would have been awesome. Okay.
That would have been amazing. And then we have Audrey too in medieval times, eating knights and, you know, seducing a Matthew Broderick character. So he'd be like the Seymour Krillborn. So he'd be like, oh, feed me like the knights, Seymour or the Matthew Broderick character. And then we got like a little Shop of Horrors thing along there.
Sure. Why not? So this was directed by Richard Donner. This is the second movie that we've done by him. Mm-hmm. The first one was Omen and this one. So we may have talked a little bit about him in that movie, but I mean, he also, so in 85, he did this movie.
Yeah. Give him a rundown of this man's movie.
In 85, he did Lady Hawk, Goonies, and then a couple music or short videos with Cyndi Lauper. Mm-hmm. He did, before this, he did The Toy, Superman, Superman 2, The Omen. After this movie, he did Lethal Weapon 2.
1, 2, 3, 4. Don't forget Maverick.
He did 16 Blocks. Mm-hmm. I mean, he's done a bunch of movies. I feel like in 1985, he had two movies coming out, The Goonies and Lady Hawk, and he called in one. And
yeah, I think he phoned in. I think it was like a favor or something. For the studio. Yeah. Like, we don't have a director. Can you just go ahead and knock this out? And Richard Donner was saying, you know what? You know, I'm kind of doing this thing with Spielberg. You know, we're doing this thing like Goonies thing.
Has a better story.
Yeah, I got serious. I was like, come on, like, just, you know, just knock this out really quick. Okay, right. Then you can go back to Spielberg and do the Goonies. All right, cool. And so that's probably what happened. It's like, we still rewriting the script for Lady Hawk.
So
at the end of the day, should we do the emotional thing we were talking about?
Right, the emotional rating to this? In my mind, I mean, I watched half of this and I went and took a nap and then I woke up and watched the other half.
So you can sort of follow it.
It's pretty basic. It's a journey in order to get two lovers back together. Mm-hmm. So the dialogue is not that important because the two people that are meant to be together, one's always in animal form. Mm-hmm. There's some dialogue between Matthew Broderick character and whichever animals in human form, but it's mostly just as joking to keep the story moving.
Yeah. Because Matthew Broderick was the in-between guy.
Yeah.
Throughout the whole story.
And I mean, I don't know. I guess I'm gonna put this movie as Turbulence. People might thoroughly enjoy it for nostalgia perspective, but it's not a great story. So you can, if there's other things that you want to download, I would download those other things.
Yeah.
It was the writer's first screenplay, so maybe that was the issue.
The
second one he did was Enemy Mine, which Enemy Mine was
really, that was a good one.
Really great.
I think he learned the mistakes from this one.
Yeah.
And he said, you know, I'm not gonna fail again. And Enemy Mine, boom. Actually, that's what we should do. I give it Turbulence. It was, the story was there. The concepts was there.
It just needed an all.
It needed to, like I said, to me, it needed more. I felt, for me to connect with the relationship, it needed more
backstory.
Yeah. It needed some flashbacks. It needed a couple of scenes of Michelle Pfeiffer, Rutger Hauer on a mountaintop hugging something. I just needed something to visually see that these two people love each other.
It's like at the beginning of Beauty and the Beast, you get a quick backstory of why is this guy a beast. We needed a quick backstory of why these two people are in animal form.
Exactly. And also, I think sometimes with movies, how you begin the movie can be deceiving, and it takes a while for the audience to figure out whose story it is, because it follows, you know, well, it begins with Matthew Riley breaking out of the
whole. Well, it's primarily, I mean, it's supposed to be their story told from his perspective.
Yeah.
Which is the mistake that they made.
Exactly. Now, if, you know, it opened up with some a backstory, or even like a narrative, or a narrator saying, oh, this is a story of, you know,
two lovers separated by day and night.
Exactly. And then we can go to Matthew Broderick's breaking out, because, all right, cool. Now we have a little something about these two. I know we're going to circle back to these two at a certain point in the movie, but it kind of sparked us like, oh, okay, cool. Boom. They're going to intersect a certain point, but I don't know. Narratively, it was kind of like, I kind of wish they would have just started with those two.
Yeah. They lost me from the beginning with the music. With the going from the nice, like, classical orchestra and then throwing in the
synthesizer.
The disco synthesizer beat.
Which is kind of borderline 80s porny a little bit, but whatever.
It was totally 80s porn-esque.
You know, the pizza man coming in, you know, and the Lonely Housewife is like, oh yeah, and then that 86 is like,
yeah. I feel like this movie was probably PG-13.
Sure.
Yep, PG-13. But definitely check out the cover art for the DVD or VHS box, because the cover art is, oh boy, what were they thinking? Whoever drew Michelle Pfeiffer's face looked like they were drawing a Barbie, not necessarily her face. It's fascinating.
You think that was the attempt to draw people into
seeing it?
Barbie's in this movie.
My 11-year-old self was really into this movie for the one time I saw it at that time.
You know, sometimes I get this Excalibur and Dragon's Lair mixed up.
What? Excalibur and Dragon's Lair are fantastic movies.
Well, I mean, it's like in that era of.
Excalibur.
Oh, yeah, Excalibur. Excalibur is a little dated, but.
Is extremely dated, yeah. But there are the cinematography in that when the guy's riding through the cherry blossoms. I mean, it is beautiful.
Hey, I am Excalibur.
Is fantastic.
You know, you don't have to like sell me on this guy, but like, I like this guy.
I haven't seen Dragon's Lair since I was a child. So in my mind, it was bloody and gory and fantastic because of that.
That was bloody work.
The dragon explodes at the end, doesn't it? Isn't that the movie we're talking about?
Yeah, but it wasn't like entrails like splattering all over everybody.
Well, that's true, because it was the 80s. They didn't do those things then.
Yeah, yeah. They do it now, but no. Yeah. Yeah, so that's funny. Like, it kind of came out, those three around the same time. I bleed them into each other. I know they're But yeah. So yeah, there you have it, guys.
So that was our quick jump back to 1985. And thank you for following us on all of your favorite social media sites and listening to us on your favorite podcast sites. And the way we get discovered is if when you share it with your friends and family. So please continue to do that.
Yes.
And
continue to give us suggestions for reviews.
Yes, we actually do it. We listen.
Yes,
so we listen. Next week is, I think it's next week or it was last week.
Next week.
Next week.
Is it Rock Week?
Next week is Rock Week.
Next week is Rock Week.
And one of those movies was also a request. And then, so today, do you know what today is?
Today?
The day we're recording it, not the day this comes out.
It's
National Stout Day, so.
Oh, really?
We are not drinking stout. We are drinking whiskey in honor of Stout Day. Yay for Stout Day.
We're drinking whiskey to stout. We're toasting stout with whiskey.
Yes.
Woo. All right. Oh, it's all the same. All right, guys. Well, hope you all enjoy the weekend. Have fun. Be safe. And as always, we wish you safe travels and
peace.